The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Front arrives today, highs of 88. Then tomorrow and through the rest of the week, really sunny, nice highs in the low to mid 80s with lower humidity, so we can enjoy that. Meanwhile, our friends in Florida, God bless them. Can you imagine being hit by Helene and then Milton? And that could have been us, I guess, in a way. So thank God that's not happening here. Demetra Smith joins us now, an assistant program director of nurse midwifery at LSU Health New Orleans. Good morning, Demetra. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm all right. Happy Midwife Week.
Thank you.
I'm not quite sure what the appropriate gift would be, but happy Midwife Week. Tell me what a midwife is for people that don't know, because sometimes it can conjure images of, like, you know, England in 1800 or something like that, but that's not the case at all, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Nurse midwives are actually primary care providers, and they can take care of women throughout their lifespan, so starting from adolescence to beyond menopause. And most people, think of midwives, they, just like you said, think of pregnancy, labor, and birth. But midwives can actually take care of primary care disorders, so things like hypertension and diabetes as well. So they can take care of women across the lifespan.
Really? I had no earthly idea. Absolutely. I thought it was all about childbirth. So what? I don't know what I'm talking about, Demetrius, you know, so you're going to have to hold my hand here and go slow. So let's talk about, like, how do you become, who is a midwife? Is it a part of a medical routine or a medical license or what? Who can be a midwife?
So we actually have a couple different ways that you can become midwives. They're actually three different ways. But if for Louisiana recognizes certified midwives and also, and also certified nurse midwives. And so typically a certified nurse midwife means that you have a nursing degree, but then you also have a midwifery degree. So it's two different disciplines that come together. And it's a we're considered advanced practice nurses within Louisiana. So advanced practice nurses could include nurse practitioners, certified nurse anesthetists, and certified nurse specialist. So we all fall under the same umbrella in Louisiana as advanced practice nurses. So we go to school for many years, and we take a certification exam, and you have to pass boards in order to be certified and to practice as a midwife. We do have a certain number of hours that we have, or clinical hours that we have to obtain in order to get our certification as well. And so during those clinical hours, it's a number of things that we experience. So from GYN care, preventative visits, family planning. But then we also do, of course, you know, what we're known for, the labor and the birth and newborn visits. And we can also take care of newborns up to 28 days. So we have a vast range of experiences that we do once we are getting those clinical hours.
It would seem as though the best thing a new mother could have is a midwife at her side, not just for the birth of the baby, but for the first couple of weeks. But I don't guess that's the way it works.
Well, absolutely. So midwives, like I said, can take care of a woman throughout that lifespan. Mm-hmm. So you, pre-pregnancy, during the pregnancy, and in that postpartum period, that's really the most important time period, because in Louisiana, if we go back and we look at the data, this is where we're losing a lot of our mothers in that immediate postpartum period up to about 42 days out. And so this is a really vital and critical time that mothers really need care and hands-on experience. And so midwives can certainly help to fill in that gap and be by their side. They can help, catch things maybe with blood pressure that may be developing to preeclampsia, bleeding or hemorrhaging issues. It can also help with postpartum depression. And then, of course, we can monitor the baby for up to those 28 days. And so midwives are a great space and a great support emotionally, physically in that space, especially during that postpartum period.
I'm in the house with the new mom. But that's not the way it works, right? Do you have kids, Demetrius?
Wait, I'm sorry.
Do you
one
have
more
kids?
Time?
Do you have kids?
I do. I have three.
You know what it's like then.
I absolutely know what it's like. And being a new mom, especially if you're nursing, you're tired, babies are crying, they don't sleep on regular schedules. So I definitely know what it's like being with a new mom and being a new mom myself. And I definitely having that support of a professional who can recognize when things are going according to plan, but can also recognize, okay, this is something that we need to intervene or do something about, can be a huge anxiety relief for some. But it can also help to steer away some of those critical aspects so we can monitor those blood pressures, so we can know when they're starting to creep up and we need to intervene. So hopefully we can prevent, you know, preeclampsia and other things that are claiming the lives of many of our women in Louisiana.
Yeah, I want to talk about that when we come back. I'm just curious, are there any male midwives or not?
Not in Louisiana, but I have met some.
Okay. Let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back, because I do want to talk about the data and mothers and the challenges they face, new mothers. Somebody texted in, I guess, trying to be funny, saying, why are there no mid-husbands? Well, because the father, I think what you're saying, what they're trying to say is that the father needs help too, but the father, they have no idea, I don't think, unless you've had a child and have been sympathetic to what your wife has gone through, or what the mother is going through, do you have any idea what the challenges are that they face? And you can go into that when we come back. Demetrius Smith, our guest, Assistant Program Director of Nurse Midwifery at LSU Health New Orleans. It's National Midwife Week. We always learn something, and we're going to learn more about midwifery when we come back. 720 Traffic Now, WWL.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
725, Tommy Tucker, WWL. I love to learn new stuff, and we are now with Dr. Demetrius Smith, Assistant Program Director of Nurse Midwifery at LSU Health New Orleans. It's National Midwife Week. Doctor, some of the questions that are coming in, are midwives and doulas the same thing?
No, they're not. Midwives are typically, have to go to school for a longer period of time. We're usually nurses and then come to the field of midwifery. And so we are licensed and credentialed to actually deliver babies or catch babies, as we say in our midwife world. And doulas are great, but they are more so for emotional and physical and psychological support, and they help advocate for moms in that space. And so they're not trained to actually do the birth themselves, but they have helped support in birth.
Did you say catch babies?
Yep, that's what we call them, catching babies.
Yeah, you got to have good hands. My third child, says this text, was born with an undiagnosed syndrome and required 7 weeks in a NICU. If my baby had been born at home with a midwife, how would it have been handled? But do midwives necessarily, is that at home birth or is that in a hospital?
So it depends on what state you're in. So in some states, midwives can deliver at home. And remember earlier in our conversation, I said we have three different midwives. So certified practical midwives, what we call CPNs, they are usually our home birth midwives and deliver at home, where nurse midwives usually deliver in birth centers and in hospitals. But in order to have a home birth, you would typically have a really good prenatal care, and I understand that in that situation, it was somebody who had an undiagnosed condition. So even if you had delivered at home or even in a birth center, you do have certain protocols. So if something is not going according to protocol or it is outside of that normal low risk, we do transfer to the hospital and continue care in the hospital.
Another question says, do the midwives help the mothers out coping with postpartum issues? My sisters and a lot of other family members had problems with that. And with that question, doctor, go into some of the problems that we have in the state and what the stats show about that.
So as I mentioned earlier, a lot of times, especially in that postpartum period, from that immediate postpartum period up until about 42 days post-birth is where a lot of times that we are losing our mothers. So it could be because of heavy bleeding, what we call hemorrhaging, or preeclampsia, which is a really high blood pressure that stems in pregnancy, but it can worsen in that postpartum period. And you can get really high blood pressures, and if they're not controlled, they can actually go into seizures. And then other things, of course, what you mentioned, postpartum depression is very common. About 50% of women will actually experience some type of what we initially in that first 2 weeks after birth is what we consider postpartum blues. So, you know, maybe more sensitivity, maybe crying or sadness, lack of sleep, all of these things that, you know, that you have when you have a newborn, because you have these major hormonal shifts within the first 2 weeks after birth. Typically, after that first 2 weeks, things start to kind of level out and settle down some. But if you're still having those symptoms beyond 2 weeks, or if you're feeling like, you want to hurt yourself or hurt somebody else, or feeling like, you know, somebody wants to hurt your baby, or you don't want anybody else to kind of help take care of your baby, then that's, you know, a little bit more serious. And we have to look into postpartum depression or other postpartum, so you can have anxiety, you can have postpartum stress, traumatic stress disorder. So it can be other things other than postpartum depression that comes up during that time period that we monitor for.
Is there a website where people can go to find out more about midwifery?
So we have two midwifery schools in Louisiana. So our midwifery program is a BSN to DNP. So that covers from once you have completed your basic nursing education, and it goes all the way throughout your doctor of nursing practice. And then Loyola also has one as well. So our website is LSU HSC, so Louisiana Health Science Center, so LSUHSC.edu, and then /NM for nurse midwifery.
Thank you. Appreciate your time, doctor. Very interesting. Dr. Demetrius Smith, an assistant program director of nurse midwifery at LSU Health New Orleans, will come back. Take a look at the week ahead on Wall Street. Monday morning markets with Mark Rosa, president and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. That after WWL First News. 7:45, quarter to late Monday morning. Around these parts at this time, we talk about the week ahead on Wall Street. Monday morning markets with Mark Rosa, president and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. How you doing, Mark?
Tommy, how are you? Happy Monday to you.
Happy Monday to you, sir. Let's talk about the Wall Street and what's going on and jobs report, unemployment rate, all that stuff.
First of all, you're encouraged by the weather this week. Low 60s across the lake for sure.
Probably not encouraged, but not depressed either.
Okay. All right.
What do you think? Yesterday I was out cutting grass yesterday afternoon, or seriously, after the football games in the evening toward the sunset. And other than the heat and humidity, it could have been fall.
Okay. I got it.
Where
I am, it's about the low 60s, and all the highs are getting, you know, just eights. You're not going into the nines anymore, and I'm just looking forward to the highs going into the sevens.
Right.
Happiness is negative temperatures anyway, not to stay on that too long.
Yeah. but it would have been just like fall, Mark.
That's right, except it was too hot.
For the heat and the humidity, it would have been just like it.
For you, that's it. I hear you.
Yeah.
I understand.
So what are we talking about today?
Well, you know, Tommy, payroll—it's such a big element in the economy. You don't want a lot of people out of work. You don't want a large unemployment rate for obvious reasons. You don't want to slip into a recession for even more obvious reasons. And you know, every month, everybody sits on the front of their chair, only the first inch of their chair, waiting on the payroll report to come out. And I had said about a week ago, and I mean, it was just evidence that we've had. It was 300,000 for a month is a good number, and then it started to segue down into the twos, and then it got into the ones every month. And then in the spring, we had, you know, Walgreens is closing 2,500 stores or thereabouts, and you know, a lot of people laying off. And last summer, a lot of the tech firms were laying off tens of 20,000 employees in many cases. And it's like, okay, well, that's going to show up in the payroll numbers, and you're going to have accumulated weakness. And then the Fed, it's time for them to sit up straight and come to the rescue of the economy and take some of these interest rates that they so aggressively raised not long ago. That needs to come out because it's, you know, from a banking perspective, money perspective, Tommy, it's still the interest rate risk is a killer. And what is that? It's the risk that interest rates will change. Now, that's like most things, it cuts both ways. And when interest rates are going up, that's, you know, the price of money is going up. It costs everybody more to just about to do everything because money touches everything one way or another. And it's just you're not having fun with that. But when they go up fast, like the Fed was trying to, you know, pull this inflation number down, and they were really on the gas pedal with respect to the rates. And, you know, it's got financial markets. It's a distortion. And when if people not familiar with a yield curve and not going so much into it, but imagine that, you know, a 1-year CD pays 5% and a 3-year CD pays 3.7%. And you would look at that and say, well, wait a minute, something's wrong. Somebody's obviously drunk at the bank because they're not putting their stuff right. And that could be with the drunk, but it's not. It was the right data that was coming out. So the Fed is really responsible for short-term rates. A lot of people think all the conversation about the Fed and the rate changes that they make, they are changing rates all across the rate spectrum. They're changing credit card rate. They're changing your car loan. They're changing your house loan, and that's really not the case. Mm-hmm. They're changing short-term rates. And then the market takes over and starts to move those rate increases or decreases through the economy. So and that's what we've been, you know, again, sitting at the edge of our chair wondering, is that distortion coming out? Are they going to lower rates? Well, okay, here comes a payroll report. It's 159,000 for August, for the month of August, supposed to be 150 for September, and it turns out to be 254,000. So that was quite the surprise. It woke Wall Street up, that's for sure. We had a lot of volatility on Friday, and the market's pulling back a little bit so far this morning. Looks like the Dow is going to open down about 160, inconsequential for an average. Mm-hmm. That's 42,000, almost 42,500. But I think, boy, that, you know, it really took off. It's like, Tommy, the spring, you and I were saying good news is actually bad news. When we had good news coming out, it's like, well, that means either the Fed's going to raise rates even further or delay lowering rates. So that was the bad news of that. And I think we've segued through the past couple of months to say, well, now good news is good news. It's great we have a good labor number. It's great that people are finding work. That's great that they'll be productive and spending money into the economy and those type of things. And it's, you know, Goldman Sachs comes out immediately, one of the world's premier investment banks. They bumped up the S&P 500 target for the third time. The S&P is about 5,700, so Goldman says it's going to be 6,000 for the end of the year. Okay, that's good news. That's very bullish. Morgan Stanley turned bullish. They were saying, "Oh, we're very cautious about this," just a couple of months ago, and now they've changed their tune to say, "Okay, we're getting on the bandwagon, and the markets are to go higher from here." So I guess a lot of the confusion is, you know, now what happens to rates? Is the Fed going to pause rates? They're going to keep lowering rates. They're going to change how much they're lowering it. And all this has been described, at least over the weekend, a lot of analysts chimed in and said, well, this is what a soft landing looks like. You start to get decent news. The Fed has got both hands on the levers, and they try to, you know, time this thing right. And so many were saying that they, to engineer a soft landing, they got it wrong in so many cases historically that it was just the odds were against him to say it's very, very difficult, so this wasn't going to happen. We think we're going to go into probably a shallow recession that's going to start coming out again. But it's like, okay, so what's the news this week? CPI and PPI are coming out, the Consumer Price Index, I'm sorry for the initials, and the Producer Price Index for September. In August, they were both up 0.2%, so that's a 2.4% annual rate, both of them were. And it was like that with the Fed's preferred gauge, the PCE that we talked about last week. That came in 0.1. That's only a 1.2% annual rate in inflation, their preferred gauge. The CPI, consumer prices, are expected to be up 0.1%, same thing, on a 1.2% annual rate. And the producer prices are expected to come in also at 0.1. So on the three inflation barometers, all of them are in 1% on an annual rate thereabouts. So that's fantastic inflation news. And it's like, okay, well, is going to the Fed meets in November 7th, right after the election, let me see, in 31 days. And it was a preponderance of the people on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, all the analysts that weigh in on what they're going to do. It's like they're going to drop by another 50 basis points. Will that have shifted very quickly? As of Friday, 87% think there's only going to be a 25 basis point drop. I'm glad it's going to be a drop because of what I was describing about the interest rate risk. I think they need to pull rates down a bit, but you know what's going to be on their mind. They're going to say, well, boy, we got inflation. We really have it tamed, and we did it without creating a recession. So we don't want to maybe we need to do nothing, but that doesn't answer the question about the distorted market. So I think this earnings season, we're in earnings season. I think the Dow is going to move sideways. Markets are going to move sideways until companies start reporting the earnings. That's where it is.
Thank you, Mark. Very valuable information. Sir. We'll talk to you again on Friday when you help us manage our money, managing your money with Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. Between now and then, if you go to jeffersonfinancial.org, you'll find all kinds of calculators to help you manage your personal finances. Absolutely free, no obligation. You can't break anything. 7:54, 6 till 8, traffic now, WWL.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.